Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
Good.
Well, I got three of you awake. Let me see if I can wake up the other 30 or so. I'll invite your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 18. I just want to share some thoughts with you, probably on my favorite subject, prayer. I feel like prayer is probably the most ignored Christian asset that God has enabled us to have. I know when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he rebuked his Peter, James, and John about them falling asleep and not praying with him for 1 hour. And that those two episodes right there has, the word that comes to my mind has haunted me probably a lot of my life, just challenging me to pray more. Years ago, I read a number of books on prayer, and occasionally I still read books on prayer. But prayer is something that is available to each and every one of us. God actually yearns to hear your prayers. Amen. When you can get that thought into your head, it may change your life. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, just to my jumping off point, so to speak. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Men ought always, there's the challenge, we are to pray and not get discouraged. Some people get discouraged because God didn't jump when they asked him to jump. Well, when that happens to you, just remember he's God and you're not. We do not order God around. God is God and we are servants. And if we're good servants, we will look to him and follow him. But we are to pray and not get discouraged. That challenge to pray. Somewhere maybe you will do like I have done, is ask God when it's time for you to pray. We tend to have a certain locked in time that is our time to pray. Sometimes it's before bed, sometimes it's when we get up in the morning, sometimes it's whenever it's convenient. If those of you who drive some distance to work, I invite you to spend that time in prayer. When I worked for the Department of Corrections, most of my locations were anywhere from about 45 minutes to a little over an hour of travel time. Well, I learned how to pray during that travel time. No, I did not close my eyes, okay? You can pray with your eyes open. And if you're driving, I would advise you to pray with your eyes open. But prayer is something that we have to work at. But oftentimes, we do not know what or how to pray. I felt that way this morning, to be honest with you. I thought, the word's not convenient, but how timely it was. That was the first point in my message. And when I was praying, I really didn't know how to begin. I mean, I know to begin with praise. Spend some time praising God, but really what to pray about. So I just kept praying. And lo and behold, the Spirit of God began to show me what to pray about. When you do not know what to pray about, my suggestion is just start. Just start. Because, as Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 says, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit, who lives within every believer, will guide you in how and what to pray about. Not only will He guide you and teach you what to pray about, but He takes your prayers and He is your intercessor, and He also prays for you about your praying. Now think about this. The third person of the Trinity is accessing your prayers to God. Amen. So not only are you praying, but the Spirit of God is praying for you and with you. So when you don't know how to what to pray about, just start. Bottom line, it's amazing. But my warning is, do not lock God into, God, I only have 3.5 minutes to pray and then I got to go do something else. When you pray, let God be in control. And when He's in control of you, you can pray as you ought to pray and as He desires for you to pray. The second thought I had is, when you feel lost about praying, what to pray about. We tend to formalize prayer. You know, if your parents taught you to pray when you were 3, 4, 5 years old, they usually begin the teaching you by a memorized prayer. Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul to keep. Some of you have prayed that prayer along the way. There's a lot of theology in that prayer. But you do not have to have a set formula for prayer. Although there's some guidelines in the model prayer where you praise God first. I typically take a morning walk, most mornings. And usually before I leave the driveway, I thank God for the ability to walk and the ability to pray. Because God is very gracious to me and has been for decades, really. But along my journey, He has taught me many things. And one of the things He has taught me more about in my last 10 years is prayer. There's times that you do not feel like praying. Jeremiah chapter 29, part of verse 13 and part of verse 14 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you." God has promised that if you seek Him, you can find Him. He's not lost, and you're not lost. When you're in prayer, you connect. You may not sense it, but you connect because God is intervening for you. And it's no sense feeling lost. You may be lost for words. And sometimes it's fine just to be silent and just let God just, you excuse my rude language, just shut up and let God speak to your heart. Just be quiet. It's amazing how he speaks to your heart. And God really wants to communicate with you. You can communicate with him, but he wants to communicate with you. And he usually does so by impressing your heart about certain things or burden your heart about certain things. That is one of the great methods that he uses. Whenever that small, quiet voice of the Lord, like Elijah talked about, speaks to your heart, you're a privileged individual. That God is talking to you. Of the 7 billion people in this world, he's talking to you. He's not ignoring the other people, but he is interested in every believer in their communication with God and their fellowship with God. So when you feel lost, just seek the Lord. I have said a number of times, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray for or this person or churches or whatever. I mean, there's a number of people that I pray for every morning. There's a number of churches that I pray for every morning, and Salem Baptist is one of many. You soon will be checked off that list of churches without pastors. Because I pray for, 15, 20 churches without pastors. And every time I turn around, I find out there's another church without a pastor. You have been very fortunate, and let me compliment you. You have been faithful to attend the house of God without a pastor. When your new pastor comes, you have an obligation to pray for him. And if you don't, my first thought is you're sinning against this church. And this church belongs to Jesus Christ. Every pastor needs wisdom for the daily situations that arise. He needs godly guidance to the message that he is to speak. Some of my greatest struggles is just finding the right passage to speak on. I mean, after all, there's over 1,000 pages I can choose from. It's not just throw your Bible open and wherever page it opens up, just take your finger and go, I think I'll preach on that. That doesn't work. Although I tried it one time and it did work. God was gracious to me in my stupidity. But God wants you to pray. And then you need to realize that Jesus is ready to hear and extend mercy towards you. Jesus is ready to hear your prayers. Whenever, wherever you are, whether you're in your home, in a worship service, in the quietness of your prayer location, wherever you are, he's ready to hear you. The little book of Jude in verse number 21 puts it this way, looking for for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's ready to extend mercy to you. He's ready to hear you. God shows up even for those 30-second prayers. He shows up for those hour prayers. And he shows up for anything in between. You may need to keep reminding yourself that God loves you. Even when you do what you don't, even when you do what you're not supposed to do, God still loves you. I have two kids. I shouldn't call them kids, but they're grown. My son is taller than I am. But I still pray for them. Every day I pray for them. As long as I have breath, I plan to pray for them every day. They're my kids. They're part of me. And I pray for them. And I just have to, I mean, God allowed me to, God allowed my wife to have them. Then God allowed us to be parents. But I pray for them. Regardless of whether I agree or don't agree with what they do, and sometimes I don't agree with what they do, but I still pray for them. I pray for wisdom for them. And then you also need to look for God's mercy, realizing or knowing it's there. God is ready to extend mercy to you, regardless of the situation that you're in, regardless of maybe the catastrophe that you got yourself in, that you put yourself in. God's ready to bail you out. Maybe not in the time frame that you want, maybe not in the circumstances that you want, but God will help you get through it. I mean, just because you break your leg and say, God, heal my leg, doesn't mean you instantaneously throw off the cast and start walking. God's going to heal you, but it's going to take 6 weeks or so. That's just the way that it goes. And you may have walk with a limp, you know, but at least you can walk. Some of you are fortunate enough to have hearing aids that actually work. You live in a very blessed time where they can actually help you along the way. Now you think about it. You live in a time frame where you can have a hearing aid and helps you to hear. I'm thankful for Benjamin Franklin. I never met him. All I know in history is that he did one of these things first. I'm glad that I have glasses. You need to be glad I have glasses, because I can't read my Bible without them. I can read that screen up there because it's 60, 70 feet away. But you put it 6 inches or 18 inches in front of me, I can't read it. I put these things on, I'm glad I can read. They have helped my life a whole bunch over the years. And then I'm going to touch on a little subject maybe that will strike home with some of you. Don't expect what you don't give. Matthew puts it this way: therefore, whatever you want men to do for you, do also for them. That eliminates vengeance. You want them to be nice to you, then you need to be nice to them. And that's not always easy for us to do. If you happen to have someone that is very disagreeable to you, And you want them to be nice to you, then you need to be nice to them even though they are a pain in your neck. You learn how to just choose your words carefully. It's amazing how the Spirit of God works in our hearts to help us choose our words carefully. Because there's sometimes that you want to say some things that you shouldn't say. There are times that you want to do some things that you have no business doing as God's child. But you need to just don't expect someone to be nice to you if you're not nice to them. And if you are nice to them, they may never be nice to you. But you can sleep well at night. You can be nice regardless of whether the sun is out or whether it's pouring down rain. You can be nice if it's cold or whether it's hot. I believe that humanity complains too much. And I'm in that. We want things our way, forgetting that sometimes our way is not best. God wants to use you and I along the way. And then my greatest admonishment to you is keep on praying. Just keep on praying. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. When it's raining, when you're in debt, or whether you have some money. Whether you have food in the house or no food in the house. Colossians puts it this way, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Good times, bad times, just keep on praying. Because when you keep on praying, that tells me and tells yourself, really, that you're dependent upon God and not yourself. We can get ourselves in a mess at times. But God has a way of just bailing us out. Sometimes in a moment, sometimes in a month, sometimes in a year, sometimes in a decade. God doesn't always just snatch us out of our problems. He just promises to be with us in those problems. The next thing I want to talk about is stay in church. People leave churches over non-essentials. Somebody didn't speak to them. I didn't like the song they sang. I didn't like the way they dressed. They sat in my seat, and don't they know I'm supposed to sit there? God admonishes us in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe that we're living in the last days. It would surprise me, but it would not surprise me if God doesn't take the believers out of this world today. There's some things I would like to do. I tell you, there's some things I'd like to do. There's some things I would like to have in place that when the rapture comes, that those who are left behind may find Jesus. And I'm working towards that. Now, if I ever succeed in it, only the Lord knows. But I would like to leave something here on this earth to cause people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ after I'm walking on streets of gold. That's my desire. I guarantee you somebody will disappoint you. I can also tell you when you're not at church, someone in this church was going to look for you and say something to you that particular day. You could be a word of encouragement just by being here for somebody else. They came looking and expecting you to be here. See, some of you, most of you, have your name written on that pew that you're sitting in. It may not be on the end of the pew, but people who have been attending here knows that's their spot. Don't you dare sit there. And somebody walks in here and sits in your spot, if you're rude to them, I hope the Lord just takes a songbook and smacks you beside the head. The greatest compliment that a church can have is to have visitors. Someone to walk in the door and want to worship with you. That's a privilege. I knew a missionary that went to Jamaica years ago, decades ago. He only spent one term there, and I forgot the name of his church, but I remember how they met. They met underneath a tree. And some of them would walk 20 miles to worship and stand underneath that tree to hear the word of God. Most of us won't even drive 20 miles, let alone walk 20 miles. But they were hungry for the Word of God because somebody had been praying for them to draw them to the house of God. Somebody invited them to say, we meet at about 11 o'clock over there, you know, down by the creek where it bends and turns around, and there's one lonely tree standing out in the middle of the field. We meet there when the sun's about yay high, and they would walk. I wish we had that type of dedication. That we would invite people, that we would go pick up people, that we would worship together. But you need to stay in church because somebody is looking for you. Or there's somebody that's coming that you need to meet. And they may be an encouragement to you. You may be an encouragement to them. But both of you need each other.
Yes.
So if you miss church, you miss the opportunity. Then let me just stick this in here. Come when you don't feel like it. Come when you don't feel like it. I got a headache. I'm not going to go. And the Lord just sort of sticks his elbow on your side and says, get up and get going. It's amazing that the headache sometimes disappears, or God just gives you the ability to endure while you're attending the house of God. God has a way of just taking care of people that put God first. God has a way of blessing people who put God first in their lives. Then something that this church does formally, now the question is, do we do it informally, is that let the church pray for you. See, in my prayer time, I pray for each and every one of you. You know why? You know how I do it? I start where you sit, and I will go all the way around the church. That's how I know how to pray for you. Because you're pigeonholed in that particular pew, and I can place you, and I can go around the church and pray for you. I pray for people that are not here today. I can tell you where they would be sitting if they were here. But that's it. But let the church pray for you. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. You know what happened? God answered prayer. God got him out of prison. I don't suggest you get locked up to have somebody pray for you. But God has a way of answering prayer. God honors church-wide prayers. Bottom line. You get 30 people praying for you, you're in good territory. You're in real good territory. That's the reason I admonish you to pray for your coming pastor. And then, when the church prays for you, that's your admonition for you to keep on praying. For you to keep on praying. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, skip a couple words, without doubting. So many times we say prayers, but we doubt if God's going to honor them or answer them. Our opening scripture was the men ought always to pray. John chapter 15 puts it this way, just in the middle of verse number 7, the end of it. For without me, Jesus, you can do nothing. Ask Jesus to help you in your prayers and to answer your prayers. Because when people pray without doubting, things happen for the glory of God. What's your heartfelt prayer for this church? All of you have some expectation, some desire. Are you focused enough to start praying that way? And keep on praying that way, and keep on praying that way, even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't think you have time. God, say something more than God just bless Salem Baptist Church. Be specific. I mean, nail it down. God, whatever your heart's desire, pray to God that God will take care of it. Then let me admonish you to keep the faith. Don't quit. Don't give up. Hebrews puts it this way. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not just throw up a 30-second prayer and say, okay, God, I did my part, you do your part. No. Be persistent. Be diligent about it. When God's people are diligent about prayer, and God's people are diligent about serving Him, God's people will do something, and God will bless. I think many times we have not because we ask not, or we ask in a flippant way, or in a carnal way, but we're not persistent in seeking God diligently. You want this church to continue to be in the landmark on this corner? Then pray. Pray. Get out of the way and let God work and pray. When somebody comes in here that you think is the worst person that ever entered these church doors, just pray. You'll be amazed either God will change them or God will change you. Sometimes our prayers need to change us more so than changing other people. Be a pioneer. Be someone that's willing to go where nobody else has gone. Be willing to put your arm around somebody that nobody else would dare touch. I think of, I never met the man, okay? All I can tell you is he used to go up and down Route 10 pushing some sort of grocery cart or pulling some sort of wagon, and all of his belongings were in that. He just lived on the street, lived in the woods. I wonder if anybody ever told him about Jesus. The last I heard, he did something stupid and got locked up. And he disappeared about 2 years ago. But you know, I thank God that I'm not standing at the stoplight in the medium somewhere saying, help, I need money. I have a roof over my head. I have clothes on my back. I have shoes on my feet. I have food in the house. I'm a blessed person. And so are you, because God's good to us. And one of the reasons why God is good to us is because somebody back yonder prayed for you. Pay it forward. Pray for somebody. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for this time together. I pray that you encourage this church, use this church in a mighty way for the glory of Christ to reach this community for Jesus. May each of these people have a renewed dedication to spend time with you in prayer. And Lord, would you do a marvelous work in their lives for Jesus' sake, for I ask and pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.